Let's read this evening 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll consider this evening the fifth verse. The Word of God at 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you, in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest well. So far we read the holy and inspired word of God. Let's read together that fifth verse again, the text for the sermon. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us this evening be thankful for godly Christian mothers of the covenant. Let us who are children be thankful for the mother that God has given to us. Let us who are husbands and have children strive to build up our wives to be that godly Christian mother of the covenant. And let us who are mothers sitting here this evening strive to be that godly Christian mother of the covenant. The Word of God is clear, and it's confirmed by the testimony of our own experiences. God uses in a very powerful way mothers in the Church of Jesus Christ for the maintenance of the covenant of grace. We take note of that this evening on this Mother's Day. A Mother's Day, admittedly, that's not a Christian holiday like Ascension Day is, which we come together for on Thursday. But nevertheless, all of us have thought about mothers in a special way in this day, and it's appropriate in a way to consider them according to the Word of God tonight. What are we thankful for as it relates to mothers? What are we as children thankful for when we think of our moms? What are we as husbands thankful for when we think of our wives who are mothers? It's not this first, that they take care of the home so well, that they cook good meals, that they do our laundry, that they cart us around everywhere that we need to be during the week. All of that is important. All of that is part of being a godly mother. What stands at the center of what we must be thankful for, what we must strive to build our wives up to be as husbands, and what we must strive to be as mothers is this: mothers of faith. Or as the Apostle Paul puts it in this passage, mothers of unfeigned faith. That's the Word of God to us tonight from 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. The Apostle Paul reflects upon the faith of Timothy, and in reflecting upon the faith of Timothy, is led by the Spirit to say something about the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. What he says about that faith is that they had unfeigned faith. Now, the point of what the Apostle says in this passage is not that it is because of the faith of Eunice and Lois that Timothy then had his unfeigned faith. We'll see that later in the sermon. That's not the point. It's not because of us as mothers that our children have faith. The point is this: God works the faith, but God uses means to cultivate and to strengthen that faith that He works in the hearts of His children. And one of the means that He uses is that of godly mothers. And that's what we have on the foreground of a passage like this. Let's look at this tonight, using as our theme Timothy's unfeigned faith. Notice in the first place the meaning of that, and then the second place the means, and that's where we'll touch on the point that I just made. And then in the third place, let's see briefly the blessing. Timothy's unfeigned faith. The meaning, the means, and the blessing. In the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. That's evident from the opening words of the chapter, obviously. That's evident from verse 2, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." I make that point because it helps us understand at this foreground of this sermon what we're dealing with here when he speaks of an unfeigned faith. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." He's speaking directly about the faith that is in Timothy. We don't need to spend the time tonight to go into the background of Timothy and the relationship between Paul and Timothy. We have done that in the not-so-distant past in our consideration of 1 Timothy. Timothy was the co-laborer with Paul. If you recall, he was picked up on his early missionary journey and labored with Paul as sort of a minister in training. And through that, God equipped him to be a minister on his own. And that's where we find Timothy right now. He's in Ephesus. He's pastoring that church while Paul is somewhere else. So Paul writes to him. And the purpose of the opening chapters of this epistle is to call Timothy to faithfulness in the labors that he is called to perform as a minister of the gospel. That's related, as we'll see in a moment, to our passage. The entire purpose of chapter 1 and even going into chapter 2 is to tell Timothy, "Timothy, God has put you in this place. Now be faithful to that calling." Notice that in verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands." Verse 8, "Be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel," which goes along with the position that he is in as a minister. Verse 13, "The word hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Repeated admonitions to be faithful to His calling. All of that is that which flows out of what the Apostle says in our text concerning the faith of Timothy. Notice that. He says in verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And then at the end, and I'm persuaded that it is in thee also. Then the beginning of verse 6, wherefore? On the basis of that, now this, be faithful. The point is, the Apostle Paul knew that the young man Timothy had this unfeigned faith. It was a genuine faith. And therefore, out of that faith, Paul calls Timothy to be faithful to his calling to preach the gospel. But the whole point of the passage revolves around Timothy's unfeigned faith. We'll get in the second point to how that applies to the unfeigned faith of Lois and Eunice, but we have to start there by describing and explaining this idea of an unfeigned faith. Let's start with the faith, then we'll get to the unfeigned part of it. Whenever we look at the word faith in the New Testament Scriptures, we have to ask ourselves a question. Is it one of two types of faith described in the New Testament? Is it an objective faith or is it subjective faith? Objective faith is faith in this sense, the content or the object of that which we believe. Sometimes the Bible uses faith in that sense. We use it in that sense sometimes, referring to the Christian faith or the Reformed faith. Faith in that sense is outside of us. It's something that we believe, the object of our belief. Jude, for example, uses it that way in verse 3 when he says that we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So faith in an objective sense. Faith is also in a subjective sense. That's something inside of us. That's something personal. Faith in that sense is the activity of believing. And clearly, that's what's on the foreground here. And the apostle emphasizes that it's made very explicit. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And in the original Greek, it's even stronger than that. Literally, in the original, it's when I call to remembrance the in thee unfeigned faith. The in thee is not at the end as it's here, but it's actually at the beginning in the original Greek. And the purpose of that is to emphasize this. I'm calling to remembrance what's in your heart, Timothy. The faith that is in your heart by the work of God. And faith in that sense, for Timothy, was his conscious believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for all of his salvation. Believing in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross and His work in His resurrection as the only ground for His salvation. It's faith in the sense that Paul made clear to the Philippian jailer, about ready to kill himself. The Philippian jailer cries out, "What must I do to be saved?" And we know the apostle's response, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's faith in the personal, subjective sense of the word. You read in the bulletin tonight that in this past week we heard a confession of faith in the consistory room by a young woman of the congregation. When we have confessions of faith, that's the emphasis. Not just this one, but all of our confessions of faith. Yes, we have to explain in that confession the content of that faith, the object of our faith. That's why we ask questions regarding understanding the Reformed faith. But the emphasis is that personal, subjective belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, a trusting in His cross as the only way of salvation. It's that faith that is on the foreground in this passage. Paul is reflecting on Timothy, and he's remembering from his years with Timothy that he had that faith. Now we can say a few more things about that faith. There's more about this faith. We could go on for the entire sermon describing faith in this sense. We're not going to do that. But a couple things that we can draw from this passage and the context. That faith is due to someone being in our hearts. Not just for Timothy, but for us as well. That faith is due to the Holy Spirit which dwells in our hearts. I make that point because the apostle uses very clear language which calls us to think about this point. He says in verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. We saw that already, that's the emphasis. But then he goes on and emphasizes it again in connection with Lois and Eunice, which dwelt first in. So he uses another verb there, dwelt in Lois and Eunice, his grandmother and mother. And what's striking is when you do a little word study on that word dwelt, it's the exact same word that is often used in the New Testament to describe the Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts. Take note of that in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. Same word that's used in our passage. But the one that's even more important is found right here in this chapter, which allows us to make this connection. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. I read it earlier, I'll read it again. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. So verse 5, we have this unfeigned faith that dwells in you. Then verse 14, the Spirit which dwells in you. And now the conclusion that we come to when we see that is not that these are two separate things. The conclusion is that they are very much united. The faith that is in our hearts, that clings to Jesus Christ and His cross, that allows us to say with Lord's Day 1 of the Catechism, I belong in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, is the fruit of that Spirit that God has worked in our hearts, is the fruit of Christ Himself by that Spirit dwelling in our hearts. Because it's faith that flows from that Spirit that's in us, we can make this concluding point concerning this faith, and that is that it's a gift. We don't ask the Spirit to enter in our hearts. We don't do something so that by what we did, God is now in us. The fact is, God works that in us. Works His Spirit in us, and consequently works faith in us so that we believe in Jesus. A couple of passages that highlight the gift that faith is, which is spoken of in the passage. Ephesians 2, verse 8, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The other one that is just as clear is Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Unto you it is given, gift, to believe on Him. And that word believe is the verb form of the noun that we have in our text, faith. The root idea of faith is, as I described it earlier, believing in Jesus. Timothy had faith. You and I, by the work of God, have faith. But the point of the passage is not just to say that when Paul reflected upon Timothy, he remembered his faith, but he describes that faith in a very vivid way. And he does so by using that word unfeigned. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned is not a word that we are very familiar with. We would hardly ever use that word in our everyday conversation. The meaning of unfeigned is genuine, sincere, without hypocrisy. Paul wants to emphasize the fact that Timothy was not a man who outwardly, when he was with the congregation in Ephesus, said the right things, did the right things, gave the appearance of piety and godliness, but then behind the scenes when he was by himself, he lived a completely different way. A hypocritical faith, if you even want to use the word faith to describe that. What Paul is calling our attention to is the fact that this young man, Timothy, not only had faith, but it was a genuine faith, a sincere faith. He was not a hypocrite. He said what he believed, and he believed what he said, and he showed it in his private life and in his public life. This word is used elsewhere in the Scriptures, and it's a good word to think about, not only in connection with faith, but to think about in connection with any attribute or characteristic of the Christian life. And that's what we see when we look at this word and its uses elsewhere in the New Testament. Beloved, if you really think about it, this is an adjective that should describe everything. Our love for being Christians must be an unfeigned love, must be without hypocrisy, and that's what is emphasized in Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 6 and 1 Peter 1. A few passages that use this word to describe Christian love without hypocrisy. Timothy uses it, or Paul uses it also in 1 Timothy to describe faith again. Now the end of the commandment is charity, love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. James uses the word to describe wisdom. Wisdom must be unfeigned, genuine, sincere. It's a good thing to do, to think about all of our attributes as Christians in this sense. I'm not going to go on at length as it relates to Timothy's unfeigned faith. We described faith in connection with Timothy. What I want to do now is move on to the second point of the sermon and describe more fully the unfeigned nature of faith, not as it relates to Timothy, but as it relates to Lois and Eunice. The point of this passage is not only to call our minds to the unfeigned faith of Timothy. But right in the middle of the passage, as Paul is reflecting upon Timothy's faith, he's led by the Spirit to reflect upon Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And that's striking. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother, Eunice. Paul's point here is that God uses mothers and grandmothers, fathers as well, our emphasis tonight is on mothers, in order to develop the faith that is in the hearts of His children. And we can gather that from the word first in the text, which dwelt first in thy grandmother and mother. The Spirit is very intentional in using that word because it allows us to make this connection that we are making. Timothy had faith, but there was something that stood behind that faith. There was someone who had that faith first. And that's Lois, and that's Eunice. need to reiterate what I said earlier, and that is that it's not because of their faith, but the point here, very simply, is that God used Lois and Eunice in order to develop the faith of Timothy. These women had faith, an unfeigned faith. We don't know a lot about Lois and Eunice. We know that they were Jews. Timothy's mother was married to a Greek. But it's clear from this passage that these women were very influential in the life of the young minister Timothy. Paul evidently knew them. He uses their name here. And from that we can gather that he had a relationship with them. On his missionary journeys, he was through the city in which they lived at least a few times, Lystra and Derbe, and likely got to know them well. And obviously, in traveling with Timothy as long as he did, he learned more from Timothy about his mother and his grandmother. These women had faith. They had faith prior to the Apostle Paul coming on that missionary journey. The faith that they had then was the faith of the Old Testament saints. They believed the Word of God in the Old Testament, that God would send a Messiah who would be the King of Israel and bring salvation for Israel. They believed that Word. But then when the Apostle came on his missionary journey and proclaimed the fullness of the Gospel, that Lord Jesus Christ had come, died, rose, ascended into heaven, and sits at God's right hand, they believed that too. And they passed that down, especially the first part that I talked about to young Timothy. We don't know a lot about these women, but we can gather some things as it relates to the main point of this passage and the main point as it relates to us as mothers. The point here is that they had an unfeigned faith as well. It was genuine. It was sincere. It was without hypocrisy. And that had an effect on young Timothy. First it was there, then it was on Timothy. And what's interesting here too is the fact that he calls attention to his grandmother. Obviously, Timothy had a good relationship with his grandmother, a close relationship with his grandmother. We don't think first of grandmothers on Mother's Day. But let's not lose sight of grandmothers as well, and the important place that they have in the covenant community and in our families. It's likely that it was different back then. It was probably the case that Timothy lived not only with his mother, but also with his grandmother, so that in an even stronger way, there was a relationship there with her. That's very rarely the case as it relates to our lives today. But nevertheless, grandmothers have a place, a significant place. And we should develop those relationships as well as grandchildren. It's very easy as grandchildren not to do as much as we should with our grandmothers and our grandfathers. So many other things can come before that. But let's remember as children that our grandmothers have a tremendous amount of wisdom from their years of serving the Lord. They have this unfeigned faith as well. And that can be used in order to strengthen us in our lives too. Their faith was genuine. And we can't give necessarily concrete examples of how they went forth in their life in this genuine faith and how that had an effect on Timothy and his life. We can't give many examples, but we can give one. Later in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul calls attention to the fact that Timothy knew the Scriptures from the time of being a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 15 and 16, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then the classic text on inspiration. We usually focus on that part of it, that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. But don't lose sight of that first part. from a child, he knew the Old Testament scriptures. He asked the question, how? Why? It was because of the unfeigned faith of Eunice and Lois. What that means is this. They went to the synagogue, likely, on the Lord's Day, and they heard those scriptures proclaimed. An attribute of a hypocritical faith is to be here on the Lord's Day and say, that's important to me, and I love those words that I just heard. But then you go through the week, and you never touch the scriptures. You never think about the scriptures. You never teach those scriptures. That wasn't Eunice and Lois. They heard it on the Lord's Day when it was proclaimed. But then all throughout the week, it was a part of their life. And it was a part of, therefore, their son and their grandson's life. So that Paul could say, from a child, not from the time that I met you on my missionary journey, but from a child, you knew the Word of God. That's because his mother and his grandmother were used by God. And that's the point. They were means, instruments. That's the title of the second point of the sermon. To develop that in the heart and mind of Timothy. What are we thankful for tonight, this morning, when we think of us as mothers, our mothers? What must you as mothers strive to have? It's this. Unfeigned faith. What does that look like? We just pointed out an example. What it looks like is this. It means something to you. It's genuine. It's real. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you say that in your heart. But then because it's without hypocrisy, you show it in everything that you do. You show it here on the Lord's Day in your life with fellow believers. You show it when you're in the halls of Heritage and Adams and Hope and Covenant, when you're among the covenant believers in our midst. But then you show it in your home, when you're with your four-year-old or your three-year-old by yourself, and really no one else knows what you are doing. You go around in your life with your husband, not rebelling against your husband, but you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to be faithful to the Scriptures, so you submit to your husband. You're a woman of the Word of God. It's part of who you are. And it comes forth in everything that you do. You strive in everything to be upright in your life of faith here on this earth. What do we need to be thankful for? What do we need to strive for that God would work? Sincere faith that shows itself in a life of godliness here on this earth. And the point to wrap this up together with the first point is that God uses it. And we see the evidence of that this morning, or this evening, as we sit here as children and as young people who love the Lord. First, the glory goes to God, of course. All the thanks goes to God. We thank God for the means He uses, one of which is certainly the unfeigned faith of mothers. On this Mother's Day, be thankful for that especially. There's a great blessing with this. A couple things that we can point out in conclusion. Blessing in the first place is that we can, because of this, be confident in the faith of our children and young people, and as they grow into be adults, as Timothy was. Very interesting what Paul does here in this passage. He calls to mind the unfaithful faith that was in Timothy. He's led by the Spirit to say there's a connection between that faith and his mom and his grandma. And then he concludes with these words, "And I am persuaded that is in thee also." In other words, Paul was confident that this unfeigned faith was in Timothy. And he was confident in light of what he says here, not just because of what he saw and what he heard from his time that he had with Timothy, but he was confident because of the second point that I made in the sermon. Because he could think about his mother and he could think about his grandmother and know that God used them to strengthen that faith that was in his heart. He reflects upon these things and he says, I am all the more persuaded of the genuine nature of the faith that is in his heart. And beloved, we can do the same. And there's a certain blessing in that. There's a certain thanks that we give to God for that. And ultimately, our confidence here is not in just that fact, but our confidence here, and this is the blessing, is that we are believing the promise of God. Paul doesn't look at this truth disconnected from other grand truths of the Scriptures. He sees this truth right here as the faithfulness of God to His promise to His people. And His promise to His people is that I will save a people in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross in generations. So that when Paul reflects upon Timothy's faith, sees it in Eunice and Lois, he's led to say this, I am persuaded, I am confident that this is a true faith in Him. What a beautiful thing that we are able to do as well. As mothers now, reflecting upon our children and reflecting upon our mother and reflecting upon that grand promise of God to be faithful to His covenant. I am confident because I trust the promise of God. And beloved, the other blessing is that in the way of unfeigned faith passing down from grandmother to mother to son to daughter, we experience that covenant. We experience fellowship, loving fellowship. You want to wonder what Timothy's relationship with his mother and grandmother was like? It wasn't one of hatred. It wasn't one of envy. It wasn't one of bitterness. It wasn't one of clashing. They had unfeigned faith, genuine faith, which meant this, they loved each other. They were thankful for each other. Did they ever have a disagreement or an argument? Probably not. Probably, rather. But in the end, they had genuine faith. And they went forth in a relationship of love and friendship. They experienced, and this is the blessing, when we reflect upon God's work in generations, they experienced covenant. And they experienced the greatest picture of God's relationship with us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not just thankful tonight for individual mothers. We're thankful tonight to God and His promise and His work and the experience that we have as families of faith and the reflection that that is to the covenant that God has with us in Jesus Christ. All the praise, therefore, all the glory, all the thanks, even as we give thanks for mothers, must be to our God and Father in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy work and Thy promise and Thy faithfulness. We thank Thee, too, that Thou dost use means, the means of mothers and grandmothers, for the furtherance of Thy covenant. And we pray that we might be thankful for that. Help our children and young people to be thankful for the mother that Thou hast given to them. But in the end, all praise, all honor, and all glory be to Thee alone. For Jesus' sake, amen.